Hello and welcome to the sixth Manx footy pod of the new season. On this week's podcast, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
We're joined by the Alman FA's under-18s coach Lewis Qualtrough and players Matty Wilkinson and Andy Burkett ahead of Saturday's County Youth Cup tie with Cumberland. Chaps, welcome to Podcast Towers. Thanks for joining us. Lewis, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's twice now. You know, people are going to begin to talk.
I know. As I say, every time you invite me in, I'm more than happy to come down.
I've even bought the biscuits this week, lads. I have to say Oreos. I went for Oreos because we had you two in teenagers, and that's what all the kids are having, I think, at the moment. It's got nothing to the fact that they were on offer.
No,
Dave, how much?
79p.
What? Did you see what the original price is?
Oh, it's expensive.
£1.08. What a random price.
Inflation nowadays, eh, boys?
£1.08, though.
It's terrible.
You just go £1.10, wouldn't you? There you go, lads. If you want an Oreo, I'm going to tuck into one. There's no milk to dunk, unfortunately.
I was going to ask, that's a serious question. How do you have
it's going to be a bit claggy, I feel.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we had those roundies? Oh, you weren't here, were you?
That was
a bit claggy as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress, as always. We've got here today. Of course, it's that magical time of year, isn't it? Where we're in the FA County Youth Cup comes a large on the horizon. You lads are obviously focusing on that. Lewis, what's the mood in the camp? Is training going well?
Yeah, I think so. We've had the group in since late July, so we've done very much similar sort of preparations to last year. Training once a week, getting a couple of matches against some local sides, and I think the mood is pretty good. The kids are up for it. They want to do the best they can.
I love the fact you call them the kids.
The lads.
I'm looking at these two, they're not kids.
The lads, they're up for it, and as I say, they want to do their best they can. Hopefully we have a big crowd down supporting them. And it would be great to try and get through one round and go from there. That's the plan anyhow. So,
Matty, as your skipper, how are the players feeling? Are they up for this one?
Yeah, I'd say we're all up for it. We're all fit, no injuries. And after the game on Monday, we've all seemed to just connect and gel as a team.
Gel, yeah.
And WhatsApp group going bananas, is it, Andy? Yeah.
Starting to play well together. I mean, just all gaining confidence each game. I mean, looking like a good squad. Maybe not at the start of the season, but definitely getting better now.
We'll come on to that a bit later on, I suppose. And I suppose you've got quite a few of you from the same club. Does that help you playing in week in, week out with Sheila? Matty, obviously there's three or four of you from Laxey in that squad.
I'd say it helps, yeah. All friends on and off the pitch as well, which also helps.
And have you come up together through the Lewis's Fame Development Centre?
Sort of, yeah.
These boys have been in it for a long time, yeah, so they know how it works, really.
So what you say, if they don't know how to play the Lewis Qualtrough way now, they never will.
These boys don't shell it from the back or pretend to try and be a striker up front. No. So they're a little bit better than that. So.
Well, I was going to say, we have an unbeatable. Eric came up with a stat this week, didn't he? So 2010 was the last time we've got past this stage in the competition. Daniel Tate, was it? And Matty Skillock, one of the scorers. 2-1 win at way at Nottinghamshire.
Yeah, Ramsey Labs, those boys. Oh, yeah. So. No, it's been a long time since we've had a team that's gone through.
I suppose if you could answer this question, you would have remedied it already, but do you think, why is it we haven't gone beyond this stage?
I don't know, really. I mean, for me, this was a similar question that was asked last year to Paul Bryce.
Sugar. Notice we haven't asked Paul back this year.
And I think, well, I've only started taking the 18s last season and this season, so I can't really comment too much, apart from obviously being involved in the development programme. I can't comment too much on what's happened in those games. But Paul sort of alluded to the fact that he thinks certainly over the years, this competition's got the standards increased and got a lot harder. And so, you know, the intensity of the play that our kids on the Isle of Man perhaps aren't used to comes into effect during the games usually. And so over recent years, we've been trying our best to increase that intensity and make it quite difficult for the boys ready for this game. It nearly worked last season. We were very close last year in a very tough game, and it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
So, as I say, we're hoping to go one step better. It would be fantastic for us to try and get through the first round. And personally, I think if we get through the first round, we've got something to build on.
Yeah.
And we have another home tie if we go through. So it'll be another chance to get more people down to watch them and just try and have a bit of a snowball effect. That's the plan.
Leads us into the next question. Do you think playing at home does it sort of tip the tie in your favour a little bit then?
Yeah, I think so.
Because there's two schools of thought to this. Because I remember when when Kevin Manning was in charge of the senior side,
yeah.
He said to me, I always favour an away game because I get the lads together the night before. I know, you know, there's a bit more bonding involved by going away in the trip.
Yeah.
But it's interesting you say you're a partisan home crowd. Now, we're not advocating the use of flares or anything like that, but, you know, but
we've had a flare on the ball, I think.
We have.
At one point.
Yeah,
it was an old boys final.
It was, and there was damage left on the pitch, so that's why we're not advocating football development on Sir Lewis. But you want a sort of welcome to hell-esque atmosphere for the Cumberland boys, is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, I think the more that people can get behind the boys, the better.
Yeah.
And as I say, it's a tough competition. It's a great chance for these lads to represent the Isle of Man, and it's a great chance for their families and friends to come down and watch them. For me, I know what you're saying in terms of, I think Steve Burns, he's coming this year as well, and he also, I think, is under the opinion that it's the Isle of Man play better away from home. You get the group that go away, and they gel together. And this is my first home tie. But I'm under the opinion that you play at home, it's our advantage, it's our house. Come and try and beat us. That's the opinion I'm under. So we'll see what happens. But I would really like everybody to get behind the squad and make it more difficult for Cumberland, perhaps, and make it better for us. Let's hope we can have that. I know Tony Mepps has put the game on at 6 o'clock after our usual Saturday fixtures.
And before X Factor.
And obviously before X Factor, which is really important. It's top class this year, in my opinion. But, I think it should bode well for us.
So, lads, are you going to try and get quite a few of your schoolmates down as well? Have you been campaigning?
I have.
Yeah, definitely. Been sharing on Facebook and Twitter and that. Trying to get as much Manxies down as we can.
And is there any pressure come with that, though, lads? I suppose Glen Road is one of the ones that has a bigger crowd on a Saturday, but there could be hopefully a couple hundred people there on Saturday night to watch you play, and that, that must come with its own pressures.
Just looking forward to it. Looking forward to playing in front of people. Hopefully get a victory, and then celebrations will be better in front of more as well, I suppose.
Matt, do you agree?
Yeah, well, I don't think any of us would have played in front of that many people before, to be honest. So, but hopefully, good experience.
There you go.
Hopefully, eggs on a bit.
We've had a shed load, I think that's the correct term, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of Twitter questions for you guys, so we suppose we should crack on with these without further ado. Most of them from your teammates, and I want to put friends in inverted commas above them, and some from colleagues as well, Lewis, which is always a highlight, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll kick off with, lads, your goalkeeper at Laxey and biscuit connoisseur, the man that started this trend of bringing biscuits
in. Yeah, you could thank him for the Oreos.
My 79p, not Andy. Lewis, will you be going over pre-match haircut options before tactics are discussed?
I think I may skip that this year. I always say, and Andrew was actually saying that as he walked in today, I said, you look very good today, Andrew. And he said, well, I've got to dress to impress, look good to play good. So, I mean, that's something that...
it really is the Lewis Quattro philosophy.
It is. I mean, I learnt it from Tony Corlett, if you remember. At Ramsey, he used to gel his hair in front of the mirror before the game, and I remember him actually telling me before we went out, I asked him, why do you do that? And he said, well, if you want to look good, if you want to play good, you've got to look good. It's always stuck with me, that. So.
They often say, isn't it, Shankly, Ferguson, Cole, the great school of thoughts in football management and psychology, really, isn't it?
So. Exactly.
Right, so the next question. a bit of a loaded question coming here from George Burrows, but Lewis, why do you think so many young players don't want to play for the Island?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, from George, really. I like George, he's a great lad. He's actually part of the training squad that we have, of sort of 27, 28 players. So it did come as a surprise when I seen it about half an hour ago when I was walking over here. But
I replied with zing on my tweet.
Yeah, I saw that. What does that mean? Exactly?
Zing's like, ooh.
Like
you can't do an intake of breath on a tweet, can you?
No.
Right. There's probably some memes, the kid, you know, lads. And you nearly call them kids then. The lads are probably telling me there's a meme or something that they could have used. But
To answer his question.
Have you had a problem with people not turning up?
I don't think we have, really. Mm. I mean, I focus obviously on the group that we have. Mm. So we have, I think, 27 or 28 kids who are in the training squad, who are fighting week in, week out to get into this 16. And I'll be honest with you, this year, those 16 players, in my opinion, have all earned and have gone the extra mile to earn their position in this squad. Some good players that are missing out in that training squad for different reasons who haven't earned it over these current 16. If we go through, those players would obviously be back in contention to try and be getting into the next round, and that's how football works, really. So my focus, as I say, is on the 16 on Saturday, and I don't really need to. I don't really know what George is getting at there, if I'm brutally honest. Yeah. But I'll chat with George when I see him next and sort of just ask what's going on or what do you think?
Slide him a DM, as the kids say these
days. Yeah, slide him a quick DM.
From the Alaxi official Twitter account, Matty and Andy, Tom Murray is the most underrated footballer on the LMN. Discuss.
Don't know where to start with Tom Murray, to be honest.
Just a couple of words. Scores goals when he wants.
Should he be in Lewis's plan? Is he eligible?
I haven't seen Tom play in a long time.
Missing out.
As I say, he knows the date. All the dates of the trials are publicised well in advance. If he hasn't turned up, he hasn't turned up. So
it's another one that slipped through the net. Ian Wright of his time. Paul Callow, keeping with the Laxey theme, question for Andy. Is being hit by your mate's car the best excuse you've ever had used to claim that you're injured or not fit?
Yeah, might have been one of my better ones. Yeah,
you've got to give us more than that.
So I was in a Tesco car park, just I suppose hanging out, and then I don't know why. There was sort of this like thing where like, you pretend like drive your mate, then stop, or like one of you would like jump out of the way. I just stood still, and I just went over the bonnet realistically. And then
how
didn't feel for the first day.
Obviously, what kids get up to now.
Yeah, I'm guessing you'll be putting a Tesco car park ban on Friday.
Okay. I'd say so. Yeah, might have to.
How long did that rule you out for?
Just a game. Yeah. Just had a dead leg for about a week.
Well, if Alman Film need any stuntmen, right. Question in from Hattie, who is somewhere in the Adriatic, I believe.
He is, yes. Those of you are friends with on Facebook, he's updating almost by the hour with pictures of his various voyages.
Wherever the hell he is, yes. But I know you've probably already touched on this one, but how far do you think you can go in this competition? And how does this squad compare to the one from last year?
As I say, my focus is on the game on Saturday. Take each game as it comes, each game at a time. I don't think you enter a competition unless you want to try and win the competition. So that's when we put our application in to enter this year, that was the plan again, to try and win the competition. How does the squad compare to the one from last year?
I think you said you've got pretty much half from last year, haven't you, about that one?
In the training squad, there's pretty much half the lads that are in the training squad last year. So and then we've lost pretty much half that are too old this year. So last year there were some good players in that squad. They went away. These two were involved actually. That went away and played Nantwich, Curzon Ashton, and Lancaster. Yeah. And they did really, really well. And there's some good players. Some of them have gone on to play scholarships in America and things like that. So, some good. They were a good squad. And as I said before, it was close last year, and we were really hoping to try and get through last year, and it just didn't quite happen for us. This year, this squad, I think they might not be as physical as last year's squad, but technically, as technical players, I think overall, generally, it's probably a better squad in that regard. So I'm hoping some of our technical players come out and do the business. I think this squad as well has got quite a lot of squad players from, well, they're now at St George's Football Club, but they were at Union Mills the whole way through their junior sort of career, and they're used to winning. So this is a group of kids that are used to winning generally, and I think they don't have a fear factor, and that's what I'm hoping comes through on Saturday. We'll see what happens, but I think they're used to winning, and I think they've got real, lots of them have a lot of desire. So the 16 that have made the squad have all, as I said before, have earned it, and they want it. So that's what I'd say, that that's probably the difference, is probably psychological maybe between the two squads. I don't know.
And have you been able to get any scouting reports on the opposition?
I actually don't know a thing about them. I have no idea.
Have you been tapping up your counterpart in Cumberland? Huh?
No, I haven't. So I don't know anything about them apart from the fact that obviously they play in they do play regularly in a league program over there. So that's something we don't have that they do. I know what to expect, what's coming probably. They'll be big, they'll be physical. They'll have fast players further up the pitch. That's usually what you come up against in this competition. So that's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, it must be encouraging for you. You know, managers in the Premier League over here will give young players a chance. I mean, we've obviously seen these young lads, Falaxi, Paul Carlos giving you a chance, and it gives you that experience, doesn't it? Which can only help you going forward.
Yeah, so that Premier League, you know, we haven't seen as many probably as in this squad that are playing Premier League football. As you guys, as you mentioned, the St George's lads, and there's a couple of others, Douglas Royal are now making the breakthrough and stuff like that. So, and the Ramsey as well, obviously.
Yeah,
you're one of the elder statesmen there now.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting on now in that squad, really.
You and Robbie.
That's pretty much all that's left, to be honest. But of the old guard, anyhow. But no, these guys have got some great experience. Well, Matty and Andy have got some great experience playing for Laxey in the last couple of years. I think Matty was Laxey's player of the year last year, if I'm right.
That's correct.
And then we've got other players in the squad, the likes of Sydney, Batty, Johnny Quirk. They've pushed themselves to go off to Myer Scough College and work hard at their football. Other people like Dom Parrish at Ramsey, he's come back to Ramsey this year. He's a first team regular footballer, and he's a good player. So, as I say, hopefully that sort of experience does come through and does shine through, and the nerves don't get the better of the boys, and we just play like we know we can and do a job for us, basically. That's the plan.
Okay.
Talking of nerves on a big occasion, Amy's from your colleague, your beloved colleague of the FA, emailed me today. Lewis, you consider yourself a bit of a singer.
Do I?
Apparently, you auditioned for the X Factor a few years back, is that correct?
Yes.
Is music something that you're looking for to pursue in the future, she asks?
Judging on what was said or wasn't said after that audition, perhaps it's not a good idea.
Is it on tape?
I'm sure X Factor will have it somewhere, maybe, but I'm hoping it will be released.
A little email and we can get it piped around the bowl on Saturday. lads come out, you know, a bit of motivation. Make a difference from Eric's CD dance collection.
It would actually, to be honest, but it would fall on deaf ears, to be honest. It's not the best audition tape, but anyhow.
What did you say?
I actually can't remember. Richard.
You can't remember.
Richard encouraged me to do it in the office. He found the song, I learned it, went down and did it, and that was it.
So you're working on that.
Big shift. Matt, your sister's been in touch with an array of questions. She's from Yorkshire by the look of her Twitter handle. So, if you woke up a woman one day, for one day only, how would you spend it? So, I'll kick off with you, Matty.
I do not have to answer that. You honestly don't know. I don't know what I'd do. What would you do?
It is a good question.
It is, yeah.
I feel like there's been a film about it, though, isn't there? Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lewis, what would you do?
I actually watched that recently.
I'm not talking about Braveheart.
It was on Netflix the other night, and I was actually watching it. How would I answer this?
You spend a lot of your time doing your hair anyway, don't you?
Yeah.
And Amy actually put another question, so you spent going to the women's toilet at the FA quite a lot. Is that, I presume it's...
Well, there's a mirror in the women's toilet.
Oh, right.
That's why I use that toilet. Yeah.
And I was going to say, I presume it's not in use very much.
No, not really. Exactly. So there's only Amy down there you know, so yeah. she does have a go at me for using that women's toilet.
Yeah.
But I hope the English FA don't listen to this podcast. Start an investigation.
So what would you do apart from use the toilet, you know, legitimately?
Honestly, that's a tough question to answer. I'm going to pass it over to Andy and see if he comes up with anything good first whilst I'm thinking about my answer.
I've just been trying to figure out an answer which just doesn't make me sound weird. I just can't come to one.
That is a good question. It's the one probably the first one that stumped everyone, isn't it?
I think it is, and good on your sister, basically.
It's Toya, isn't it? Toya, yeah. She's come up with a couple more. Matty, why do you support the Mighty Borough? There's a bit of a contradiction there, because she's asked why, but then describes it as the Mighty.
Well, she's not lying, to be fair to her. Basically, that's where my dad's come from.
Right.
He's from Middlesbrough, and before I could even walk or talk, he had a Middlesbrough top on me.
Oh, fair enough.
So I didn't really get a choice, to be honest.
You probably missed, was it the season that they got to two cup finals and got relegated?
Yeah, I don't think I'll fly for that.
Yeah, that's it. One of my friends, JP, one of our mutual friends, he's a Middlesbrough fan, and I often remember about that. They lost 1-0 to Norwich in the week, didn't they?
Yeah.
Never mind, Dave. My last question, how much, again to Matty, how much would you be worth on FPL, and which player past or present do you aspire to be like? I think the right answer for a player is Lewis Qualtrough.
Probably not. I remember playing against Lewis Qualtrough and he ripped us apart. I'm not even going to lie.
There we go.
Walking football?
No, that happens weekly.
Definitely wouldn't be Lewis. I don't know. I suppose I'm just going to stick with Middlesbrough here, but a little Brazilian player called Juninho.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Good your player he was.
Yeah, he was a great player. And what about your worth in the FPL?
I don't know, to be honest.
You're quite a direct runner from what I've seen in your games.
Yeah.
So you might not garner that many. You probably get, I don't know how the bonus point system works on the FPL at the moment, but you might get a few points for that. Could chip him an occasional assist, don't you? So I'd say you'd be a solid 5.5-6.
I'll take that.
Andy, what are you doing? See, I always feel sorry for defenders. You're hamstrung by your goalkeeper. So if Mr. Ball's got his mind on his bourbons, you know, and he lets in a couple, you're going to lose a clean sheet point there, aren't you? So
that's true. I just make up for it in goals. I mean, under-18s on Wednesday. Scoring headers, won't I?
So this could be last 10 minutes shove Andy up front, is it?
Well, let's hopefully. Hopefully he does the damage from a set piece or something like that. That might be all right.
I intend on.
There you go.
Right, our podcast favourite Joey Andrews has asked you, Lewis, if you had the choice, would you rather an innie or an outie belly button?
I think I would stick with my innie, to be honest, on that one.
Better the devil you know often, isn't it?
Exactly. So, yeah, that's why I'd stick with that one, actually, Joey.
It's good to have Joey get a question back in. He's been quite quiet the first few weeks.
Yeah, he's obviously having a shower again now to pick up his questions.
Must say, he played very well Saturday as they beat Braddon. Braddon beat Colby 2-0.
Yeah, you were at that game, weren't you?
Yeah, team of the week. He's like a young Cannavaro at the back for them. Look it up, kids. Google it, yeah. Richard Brandt. He sent in three questions. There's a lot of time going on FA. Which Premier League manager would you compare your managerial style to and why, Lewis?
Ooh. Which Premier League manager?
I presume he means English rather than Manx, but
yeah, I'm presuming as well.
Won't be short, though. She hasn't got enough hair, has she?
You know what I might go for here is Rafa Benitez.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think I'll pick Rafa Benitez. I'm a big fan of Benitez.
Right.
He did a solid job at Liverpool.
So right. Good the 1-0 wins then.
Good tactician, can set a team up well tactically
in a
big game. Let's hopefully that shows on Saturday. We'll see. Also referred to as the Spanish waiter, so he tries a few different sort of career different things. I've just looking at Richard's next question.
I
was going to say, does this make you the Sammy Hippie of this team?
That's the plan. I mean, get a few headers in there.
Yep.
Would you agree with Benitez, Matty?
They look quite alike.
Right.
I've never seen two in the same room, to be fair.
No,
there you go. Richard Brandt, again, another cracker. You face Cumberland on Saturday. What are your thoughts on Cumberland sausages?
I mean, I like Cumberland sausages.
Who doesn't?
I don't know what these boys are, but they do. But
They're not bad.
You're a skipper, obviously, on Saturday, Matt. Maybe you could do a food exchange. They could bring over some sausages, maybe give them some kippers or a yard of pasty or something.
Well, Frank actually has arranged, well, it's not a Cumberland sausage.
It's like a cultural exchange.
No, he's organised for a chili con carne after the game and a hot pot. So I'm actually looking forward to that most, to be honest with you, on Saturday night. Yeah.
Did you still exchange? Is it plaques or something?
Yeah, we will be doing that, yeah.
Oh, well, that's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I often, I don't know if they still do it in international football, there was a period where they started giving flowers to each other, which I thought was very...
It's a nice touch, actually.
What do you think? Well, I don't know. I remember they did it when Iran played America in the World Cup in about 2000.
Sounds like an American style thing.
Yeah, it was very odd. Right. We've gone off the point once again.
Yeah, we always digress. But our final Twitter question, again directed at you, Leo Lewis, from Richard Brandt. Having played football, coached football, acted in a World War II film soon to be released, modelling for a wedding magazine, and boxing to name but a few.
He sent me pictures of the wedding magazine, actually.
Did he?
I might use it with the tweet. No.
So what's next for the career of Lewis Qualtro?
I don't really know what I can add to that, to be honest, but I might try. Let's have a little think. Maybe I'll become a cage fighter or something like that. Yeah, maybe try and UFC or something like that, maybe. Or, I mean, I still want to try and go down the modelling route, but it hasn't quite worked out and my time's running out as well. So
boxing and modelling,
do they go together?
No. I must admit, the boxing slightly passed me by. How did you get on?
It was 2 years ago. Mm. It was a charity event.
Is it the Thriller at the Villa?
It was the Thriller at the Villa, and I won the fight.
And it's pretty intense. I went to a training session with Manx ABC.
Mm.
It's very intense, isn't it?
It's hard work, boxing training, very, very hard work. Mm-hmm. A lot of high intensity.
Harder work than modelling, or?
I would say so, yes. Right, although there's a lot of, you know, downfalls in modelling as well, I'm sure.
I suppose you have to watch your diet for both, then.
I suppose you do.
And what's this? Can you tell us anything about the film?
The film?
Yeah.
No, that was just, there was a recent, within the last year, they were looking for extras for a World War II film.
Right.
Filmed at Chirby.
Right.
And so I saw the ad on Manx.net and thought, yes, I might as well go along and try and get myself into a film. And played a German soldier.
A German soldier?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So,
and what was it called?
I actually can't remember. I don't think they've decided on the name of the film yet.
It's under production.
Under production still, so it hasn't come out yet.
I can't wait. I'll hopefully have the YouTube link on the trailer, and we'll spread that about. You flummoxed me slightly with that. Well, we're going to have to go on and have a look to Saturday's the games, because, you know, the three Premier League games there are, because you've robbed so many players, teams of players. Carlisle Life Premier League. Corinthians can go top on Saturday. They beat Braddon, because obviously St George's aren't playing. Two teams with 100% records, St George's and Corinthians. They should extend this against Braddon, wouldn't you think, Lewis?
Yeah, I would have thought so. They've had a very good start to the season, so yeah, I would have thought they'll get the points against Braddon.
And you lads have obviously played Braddon. I think it was
6-1? 6-3.
6-3?
Yeah.
Despite 6-3. Andy Ball's best efforts. But yeah, Braddon, they've won the rest of their games. They seem to have taken to the Premier League like a duck to Billy Goat Park. Yeah.
I mean, they did really well last year, Braddon,
in
Division 2, and they won lots of competitions as well.
Yeah, they won the treble.
So, I think, and they've started quite well.
They won three of their four, yeah.
I watched them against Laxey this season, and they started very, very well. Mm. And then they sort of went tailed off a little bit, but as a team, they look quite solid.
They're quite a young team as well, and they've got a good core. So I think they'll give Corinthians a good game, but I think Corinthians should have the edge, shouldn't they?
I would have thought so.
They've got a pretty impressive attacking line these days.
Mm-hmm.
St John's, St Mary's looks like it could be a bit of a closer game. St John's have only got a couple of points to their name so far, but they've had a tough start to the season. They take on a St Mary's team that seem to be finding their feet. They beat Old Boys 4-0 last week, which was a good result for them. Jordan Cooper, man, he scored three goals after coming on as a sub. Was he part of the development centre at one point?
He was at one point. Mm. He was part of Mark Adams' squad a while ago. But Yeah, he's a good player, Jordan. He knows where the back of the net is, so I'm not surprised he scored three goals.
They also signed Jordan Crowley as well, another young striker from Union Mills, so they seem to be finally preparing for when
Steedo... St. Mary's have.
Yeah, and Steedo finally scored the other goal in that 4-0 win last week. When Steedo finally retires, they seem to be putting some sort of contingency plan in place. But yeah. St. John's, they've got a couple of young players there, haven't they? Rhys Oates and... who else is down there? Alex Holden, but I think he's now gone to university. But
right.
They tend to be quite hard to play at Mullaney Cloy.
Yeah, they're usually quite organised, and you know what you're getting when you play St. John's. A really tough game, usually. Mm. That's what I find. And so I'd probably give St. Mary's the edge in this one, though, especially if Steve Priestnell's back playing and firing the goals, and he's a very difficult striker to play against on his day. So I'd probably go with St. Mary's, I think.
You two lads, you haven't come across these two yet, have you?
No, I haven't played either of
them. In the under-18s, we played St. John's. Good little team. Got some good players probably going into their first team, Sam Beatty.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Jamie Crook.
Keon Brock's left you guys to sign for them, haven't they?
Snake.
Is that Snake?
Yeah. This is obviously taking advantage of the new transfer rules where you can shift after the window is officially shut if both clubs agree. So, bit of a shock move that. But yeah, I think he scored for the Combi last week, didn't he?
I think he played against us last night, didn't he?
Yeah. No chance he would score on that night.
Rush and Douglas Athletic. Again, Douglas Athletic have had a tough start to the season. They've only got a point, and that was the point they took from St. John's last week. It was a 4-4 thriller at Springfield Road. Rush and though, you'd favour in this one. They've had a bit of a stop-start season with postponements and the like, but Russian have got a tremendous squad. Paul's got a good squad he's built down there, hasn't he, Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking to Steve because obviously he's come into the 18s programme. Yeah. He was talking about his squad at Russian this year. We've actually played like mixed teams as part of our preparations against Russian, and they've got a lot of players there, it would appear, and some good names. And they've brought a couple of decent players in.
Josh Kelly's obviously returned to the fold.
That's a big signing.
Yeah.
Because he's going to guarantee you
30 goals.
At least 30 goals a year.
And Mike Williams is already there, Josh Kelly Jr.
Yeah. And they've also got the likes of Jack Saxon and Steve Wright. They've got loads of players to pick from, really. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think they'll have a good season, Russian.
Douglas Athletic, like St. John's in a way, they're quite hard to break down on the, you know, if they get themselves nice and compact and tend to look for the Martin up front. But at Russian, you expect the home enthusiasm to take away and they get the 3 points there, wouldn't
they? Yeah, as I say, yeah, I agree with you. Douglas Athletic have done really well last year when they came into the division, and they gave Ramsey, we played against them last year and they battered us in a game that... And we were hoping we'd be able to get something out of, and they destroyed us. So they know how to set their team up, and they're difficult to play against. But yeah, as I say, I would imagine Russian would probably take the points at home, especially.
At the Croyd. Yeah. And the season as a whole, lads. Now, Ramsey, it looks another tough season for you, Lewis.
It's started
so well after a big win over Royal.
Yeah, well, personally, I haven't been able to play yet, unfortunately. I'd fractured a bone in my ankle, so I'm just waiting to get back from that. But it's been a tough start, it would appear. I watched them on Saturday against Corinthians, and it was a heavy scoreline. But I've always said Ramsey have got good experience in the relegation dogfight, and they know what it's about. And so I think hopefully we pick up as the season goes on. It doesn't start till after Christmas anyway, so.
We say you are blooding in quite a few youngsters there. Yeah, it does take a while to get into the rigours of the Premier League, doesn't it? How did you lads find it? You know, was it easy stepping up from that combination in 16 to 18 football into the Premier League, or did it take you a while to adjust?
Definitely takes a while. Yeah. Like, you can just tell like strength is so much more used in the senior footballs, but it's a challenge, and like it is fun to play, and like you do enjoy having the challenge and like the physicality and wanting to be able to win some of those physical battles. It's fun, yeah. It's good.
And Matty, did it take you a while to adjust your game to it?
Yeah, or it's just a lot quicker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't have much time on the balls like you'd hope for.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good experience. I enjoy it.
And Laxey, what can we expect out of Laxey this season? We had Paul and Andy in. They were sort of... we've seen the 4-year plan that Paul has hoisted around social media. So, he's got a plan and he's sticking. You've made a good start, encouraging start. You were a bit unlucky against Peel the other week. That was probably a bit 4-1, 5-1,
something like that. Yeah.
So, but you think you'd be sort of mid to upper table?
Hopefully, yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going for. I mean, definitely challenging most of the teams in the league. Hopefully picking up points against most of the teams. But just really wanted to like challenge ourselves against some of these St. George's, Mary's.
So we definitely did against St. George's in the last weekend.
And Corinthians, I watched that game. It was only that 79th minute deflected strike that's took it away from you. Yeah. But what impressed me most, you took the game to Corinthians in that instance. So you were all, rather than sitting back, as some teams might do, and trying to defend against a strong team like Corinthians, you were still going for it for the 90 minutes, really.
Yeah. That was the plan, wasn't it?
We always thought, well, we had a feeling we could get something out of the game. We all worked as a team, and then obviously if you get to half time and it's still 0-0, like the atmosphere in the dressing room is all up for it, and it obviously hurt a lot to lose to a 1-0 deflected goal, but
it's a hard one to take, wasn't it?
It was a good signs for the season.
Yeah, definitely. Well, guys, thanks for coming in. I'll let you go back to Tesco car park. best of luck for Saturday. Oh,
thanks very much.
Dave, who has departed during that podcast, will be at the bowl on Saturday night tweeting away. So be sure to give him a wave. Not when at set pieces or anything like that. and enjoy the, what was it, chili and
hot pot, I think.
Hot pot.
Yeah. Right. Well, should be all right. You're more than welcome up after.
I might do, just wait, but I don't want to impose.
No, you're more than welcome.
I might bring some kippers and we can do the cultural exchange.
Do the exchange upstairs.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Let's
do that. So, is there a DJ on Saturday for the game? You know, are they playing some tunes in the bowl?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm not sure.
I always enjoyed that about a fixture at the bowl. I'll pass on
your thoughts.
Right, when we return, we'll be looking ahead to Division 2. Plus, Dave caught up with Paul Rose manager Paul Guyver after last week's win over Molo. And his new near-world-famous feature, Combi Corner. Right, welcome back, guys. We're look ahead to Saturday 6 Division 2 games now, of course, unaffected by the aforementioned FA County Youth Cup game at the Bowl, which kicks off at 6 o'clock for all of you who have forgotten in the last 2 minutes. Starting at the big game in Division 2, Dave, Foxdale Moran, are we going with that one, are we?
Yeah, I think this could be a really interesting game. Foxdale, as I put in my preview, they're the only team remaining in the second division with a 100% winning record so far this season. Played 4-1-4, so they're sitting pretty at the top. Moran have had a mixed start to the season, but they go into this game on the back of a 6-2 win over Gunners Athletic. Now, thanks to a quirk in the postponements last week, Foxdale also go into this on the back of a 6-2 win against Governors. So, a bit difficult to tell, really. But
Foxdale, Jay Chatwood, I think he's top scorer in the division now. He's overtaken Steve Glover.
He got another 4 last.
Started the season like a cat with a rocket up his bum, hasn't he?
So he's certainly the man to watch. He's more than filling in for Aaron Costain, who's left with pastures new.
Yeah. Or old, in this case, he's come back to Peel.
Absolutely, fed up with the Baltic. So. Yeah. I think home advantage will certainly play a part here, but I think even on paper you'd fancy Foxdale to get the edge in this one. But Dave Brew's got a good young team there at Moran, with a good blend of talent, I think, in that side, so they could push them all the way.
Now Quayle obviously playing against his old club. He made the switch in the summer from Moran to Foxdale. He scored a couple of goals, made an encouraging start to life up at the back of the moon, Billy Goat Park. That could be an interesting subplot. But of course, the other subplot could be the weather, couldn't it? Because obviously anyone who was doing anything on Wednesday night know that it was absolutely hammered it down. And anyone that knows anything about Manx football will know that the Billy Goat Park is susceptible to some waterlogging, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I think you experienced this weather firsthand on Wednesday night.
I did. I was going to touch on this later, but yes, I played football in it last night, which was one of the most stupid things I've ever done in my life. My bum's still wet because I used the car on the way at lunchtime to get the biscuits for the guests.
Good shout at the Oreos.
The bum's still wet from that.
You need heated seats, mate. You know,
I failed to think about electrocuting myself with heated seats. But I know Foxdale have done a bit of work on the pitch, so I don't think it's as susceptible. I think they've already had one game already postponed this season. So we'll have to keep an eye on the weather. It's dry now as I look out the windows. A stiff breeze, which will be good for drying the pitches, but Absolutely. It wasn't a lot of rain last night, so some of the more susceptible pitches could be under threat this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Onken Union Mills?
Yeah.
This one could go either way to me, although I suppose you're going to favour the O's, because being a good old Onken boy?
I honestly don't know, you know. I mean, we've touched on it plenty of times already this season. Union Mills have been unlucky. I actually bumped into their midfielder, Chris Kelly, the other night. I was having a chat with him, and he said, yeah, they have been unlucky. You know, they've two of those games, they've lost in injury time. Mm. But they had that big morale-boosting win over Ayr last time. Yep. I think it was 7-2. He himself got a couple of goals in that game. And I think confidence is strong in the camp. But likewise, you have to say the same for the O's. They've had a good start to the season. They did suffer a defeat a couple of weeks ago, but they've bounced back. And they're sitting pretty. So they're in a good position, I think. And they've got some good players. They are missing a couple of fringe players that are in the under-18 squad.
Yeah.
I don't really think that'll affect the selection too much.
No, James Rice, the goalkeeper, I think, is in the FA Youth Cup mix, isn't he? Ayr United, Malou, been a bit inconsistent this season so far, haven't they? My man Dean hasn't found his scoring boots yet.
No, I think you put a bit too much pressure on him, to be honest.
I know, that's the problem.
We can blame you, but no, I mean, it was a heavy defeat for them last week against Mills, but they'll be looking to bounce back. This is a good chance. I watched Malou play last week.
Yeah.
I think they've got a very talented squad there. They've got some good players. They just need to keep their heads about them, really, and sort of work hard. And, you know, and the results will come.
All the right notes, just not necessarily being played in the right order at the moment.
Exactly. I think, you know, Carl Alexander's got a good side there. I think he's got Andy Glover working as an assistant.
Yeah, I saw on one of your tremendous pictures, which are on our sports desk Facebook page this week. He was there next to Cal with a typically cross-armed assistant manager pose on.
Yeah, standard look. But yeah, and I think I spoke to him briefly before the game, and he's hoping to sort of impart a bit of his wisdom, shall we say, on them. He's got the experience. And Malou have got a good team, so I think they'll go places this year. This should be a close game.
A close game. I'm going to go for a draw, just because it's a long way from Malou to Ayr.
It is.
The fatigue might...
it's a north-south match.
The fatigue might take its toll on the Malou players. Michael United, Jims... Apparently, I saw a tweet from Tony Sewell earlier in the week that saying that he was saying that the performances are improving, even if not the results. I think they haven't got a point yet, have they?
No, it's a similar story for Michael as well. They're near the bottom of the table as well. But they're both showing signs of improvement, which is good to see. I know Tony was after a few new players.
Yes, he seems to tweet quite regularly on who isn't getting a game.
Yeah, this will be a good game. I think this is a good platform for both sides. I think if they can both produce a positive performance, it will help them going forward. I wouldn't like to call which way this will go.
Yeah.
Last week, you know, Nick Hurt grabbed himself a couple of goals.
He did.
He's
class is permanent.
That's it. So that'll be a huge boost to the team. So yeah, this could be a good opportunity for the hosts to get the first win of the season.
Youthie Dalton District. Now, Youthie seem to be nicely positioning themselves in the top of the table, don't they? D&D, though, I think you said in your preview, won the FA Cup tie between these two earlier in the year.
Yeah, absolutely. But earlier this year, and Daniel Stuart Clegg was the man, was the hero that day. Mm-hmm. He grabbed the only goal of the game. You know, D&D may fancy their chances of causing another upset here. But as you say, Youthie, they've had a very positive start to the season.
Mm.
They sat last weekend out, and so they'll be chomping at the bit to go. And you'd have to fancy them to get the points on offer here.
Yeah, sorry, Dave Matheson, I think this is going to be a home win. Paul Rose, Governors Athletic, again, another game looks like the points are going to be staying with the home team.
I would expect goals in this one.
Yeah, Paulie are starting to click at the moment.
They are, and as Paul Guyver mentioned in his interview there, you know,
he's going to stay in a minute, actually.
Yeah, well, he's there's not many teams that want to go up against that attack. I think, you know, they've, especially with Stephen Glover leading the line, you've got your Nathan Yates, Harry Lowthers, Barry English. Barry English and Glover look like they're forming a really good partnership up front. They seem to read each other's games really well. So
Barry dropping a bit deeper in games, as I saw against Malou, against Union Mills. And he seems to be able to have a bit of an influence. So he's got almost Rooney-esque into the 10 role.
He has, and it's he played really well. I was impressed with him. So They've got a very good side. I expect them to have a good day on Saturday and get a few goals.
Governors Athletic, though, I know they lost to Foxdale last time out, but they did cause an upset the week before beating Castletown. Have they got one in their locker again?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, Tom Chamberlain seems to be doing a good job there already.
Could it be the case if they frustrate Pulley for half an hour, 45 minutes, that the game may swing in their favour after that?
Quite possibly, yeah. I mean, you know, Pulley are going to want to get an early goal in this one, just to settle the nerves if there are any. But, you know, Governors, they work hard. And, you know, as you say, if they could just get past that first half hour or so, they might fancy their chances of getting a result out of this one.
Well, you sort of alluded to there. You spoke to Paul Guyver after last week's win over Malou. Another 4-3 last minute. It seemed to have it all. There was sending it off. There was all sorts, wasn't there?
Oh, it was a feisty old game. It was a shame, really, because all on paper should have been a very good game was spoiled by a bit of tension and arguments going on the pitch, shall we say. But
well, probably expected, given the amount of players that have moved between the two clubs over the summer.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I think it was an interesting game. I mean, Malou had their chances. Mm. They performed very well in the second half, but by which point they were 3-1 down to Pulley. But they bounced back, got it back to 3-3, but almost in a bit of a sucker punch. You know, Pulley went up the other end and got the fourth goal. And they did deserve to win, Pulley, but it could have gone either way.
Well, we'll have a listen to what Paul had to say now.
Paul, well done. You got the 3 points, but it was hard work in the end, wasn't it?
That's football, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why I've got nowhere left.
Only 7 goals, bit of drama right at the end as well.
Yeah.
I mean, your heart must have been in your mouth when Dale missed the open goal with the last kick of the game.
Yeah, nearly. I'd seen the undies there. If he scored, I wouldn't know the end of it, would I? But
yeah.
Their keeper kept him in it as well.
He made some quality saves,
so
yeah.
You got just desserts in the end.
Yeah, I mean, the first, obviously, you took a 3-1 lead just after half time, didn't you? And you look comfortable, but fair play to Malou. They came back at you and got the 2 goals, but straight away you got the 4th goal just when it mattered, didn't you?
That's what we do, mate. I said today you've got to win ugly. So all that today was 3 points. You want to get stuff down the ball in the final, you win ugly.
Yeah.
And today we won ugly.
Now, when you've got the likes of Steve Glover in your team, you're always going to have chances.
He's class, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, I mean, you could say he was the difference today. I mean, he was great. But also, the likes of Nathan Yates, Harry Lowther, who I know you tipped pre-season.
Yeah.
He's a special player, isn't he?
But class.
Right across the board, though, were you happy with the performance?
Yeah, it was just everyone's come off knackered, blowing out their bums. That's all, covered in mud. That's what you want, mate.
Yeah.
Just dig in with each other, team spirit. Bouncing, mate, I love it.
Good. Now, you went into today's game, so I think you were 3rd place. I haven't heard the other games. Obviously, Castletown was called off.
Was it?
So you should be 2nd, I would have thought, but I don't know, to be honest. Are you happy with how the season's gone so far?
Yeah, mate. Lost the first game, Ramsey, you've sent off, but we learned from that because we all made a few mistakes that day. And today, I learned from Ramsey, you've sent, and today we won because of that defeat first day of the season. So we're up it, everyone's on the ball.
Yeah.
We're going to do something this season.
Yeah, well, no teams don't want to go up against your attack, are they?
No. No. So take the day off if they're doing that.
Congratulations, mate. Well done.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Right, we're back with the feature that's sweeping a nation. A combi corner, Dave. Oh, over to you.
The pressure's on. We've mentioned, obviously, well, we talked about in the paper this week that Kieran McNulty bagged 6 for Geordies on Saturday to take his tally to 302 Premier League goals.
Yep.
Phenomenal achievement. And he wasn't the only player to score a load of goals at the weekend. 2 players in combination football both managed to bag 5 goals.
Go on.
Billy Kenyuck,
a man on the comeback trail.
He is. He's, you know, he's not...
Billy the Kid. That's the headline.
He's working his way back into first team contention this year. He had a great breakthrough year last year.
He did.
Made his mark, certainly. And he'll be hoping to make that breakthrough again into the first team this year. But yeah, he scored no fewer than 5 goals in Peel's 7-3 win over Douglas Royal last weekend.
Yeah.
And not to be outdone, Adam McCulloch scored 5 for Corinthians against Ramsey.
Summer signing from Braddon.
Absolutely. And that result means Corinthians are now top of the table.
I was speaking to Mr. Manx Football himself, Tony Meppham, Corinthians Uber fan, chairman, fixture, secretary,
everything.
Yeah. He was saying he was tipping Corinthians Combi to have a good season. Maybe even have a title tilt on their hands. As Shakira says, the stats don't lie at the moment, do they?
They certainly don't, mate. They certainly don't. I think, you know, positive all around with Bell Fletcher at the moment. And, you know, with a player that can bag five goals, you know, lots of talent in that team. They should be challenging up near the top, I think.
Anything else for us?
Also, Combi One, just a very small mention. We've talked about the Premier League games being postponed this weekend, but also the Douglas Royal v St George's game has been called off because of Geordie's players' involvement.
They've got about 5-6 in that squad, haven't they?
They have, so that one will not take place this weekend.
Cool.
Turning our attention to Combi Two. Oh, sorry, quick mention also for the Old Boys St Mary's game.
Oh, yes. Johnny abandoned.
This game was abandoned at half-time last Saturday, and we believe Old Boys were winning at the time.
Well, I think so. I was sort of hearing this sort of second-hand through Meps, because his phone was going, the back phone was going off, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But I believe there was a couple of sendings off just prior to the break. I think even Old Boys had one, might have had one off as well. I think Old Boys were in the lead. This is all very sketchy in the finest Manx journalism. And I think was it St Mary's may have said they had a couple of injuries at half time.
Three.
That would have taken them down to six players, which is below the seven required. So they just didn't come out after half time.
So it was still to get to the bottom of this, but
yeah. I think from what I was reps was saying, it's probably going to go to DSIP, and they will, I'm sure, be listening to the referee's report and such like, and there'll be a ruling in the not-too-distant future.
Going into the game, Old Boys had a 100% winning start to the season. I think they had three wins from three, so it'll be interesting to see how that affects it.
I presume they'll be just given the points, but that doesn't help their goal difference, does it?
No, it doesn't, the all-important goal difference. Mm. Anyway, in Combi 2, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre and Castletown both continued their 100% winning start to the season. They're both flying high, good strength and depth in both squads there. So it could be successful seasons for both. Also, and I know I've done it already in recent weeks, but a special mention to D&D, the Combi. They got their third win of the season.
Flying. They are absolutely flying.
They are flying. It's Matheson's magic.
Yeah.
So they're doing well. So, you know, fingers crossed they can keep that going. But, so that's Combi Corner for this week.
Dave, that was tremendous as always. Before we go, I should just delve into the Manx Footy Pod Fantasy Football League. It's been a good week for some people. It's been a bad week for others. It very much mirrors life in that way, fantasy football. Top of the standings at the moment, Rory Mooney. He got 78 points to go 3-6-6. He's got a 10-point lead over early pacesetter Frank Jones, and he's in second. But the top three is Matt Quirk, Douglas Athletic goalkeeper, with 3-5-2. I thought I had a good week because I am now up to the dizzy heights of 28th after I got 72 points this week.
Wow, fantastic.
This is despite my captain, Jesus, not playing.
Did you take my advice the other week of not putting any Liverpool defenders in your team?
I did. Although I've got Milner on the bench.
He hasn't played this season, so...
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, he's not helping me. No, I think he's going next week.
Yeah, sort that out.
Yeah. But our manager of the week is none other than Mr. Other Corinthians himself.
Yeah.
Stan the man, Corkle.
Oh,
he's got a whopping 88 points this week to firing up the table. He's in 38th now. Is Ellen Van and team are in 38th. Happy birthday to Stan as well. It was his birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Stan.
So, yeah, he's had a good week all round. Who anyone else mentioned? I can't remember who's bottom. I'll tell you who it is. It's Darren Corkle. I think it's Stan's brother.
So are there any excellent team names that have jumped out to you this week?
It's nice to meet you. It's still my favourite, Ronan. You've done a cracker there. John Sykes, who's just ahead of me in the rankings at the moment, in Rubber Dinghy Rapids.
Oh, well, if you look at one of the headlines on the front page of this paper this week, there's a mention of dinghies as well.
Oh, is there? Well, it's very topical.
Very topical.
Never losing, Damien Owens. It's easy for me to say. That was another cracker. But yes, there's many, many. A lot of people obviously spent a lot of time thinking about their
there's
team.
There's a gamut of delights in there.
There is. Right, talking of gamuts, if you want to listen to any of our Manx Footy Pod back catalogue, there's quite a lot now, Dave.
It is.
I overheard a conversation at the Brand game last week between Mick Hegarty and I don't know who the other person was, but he said, "Oh, started listening to the Footy Pod. Only gave it 4 minutes. It's a bit long, isn't it?" And he made some comment about sending him to sleep. And then Mick Heggett, he said, "It's fine, I'm going to Ramsey later. I'll listen to it on the way over."
Good man, Mick.
To be fair, you know, you can use it and as you wish. You know, yeah, well, 4 minutes here, 5 minutes there.
Well, you had the best compliment last year that it's the cheapest sleeping pill going, isn't it?
Yeah, that was Alan Wright, a Peel fan. He said that. Yeah. So if you're having a spot of insomnia, just feel free to whack this on. I can guarantee within 10 minutes
you'll be monotonous asleep. Tones will send you off to sleep.
I'd that be coughing. So if you want to do that, look online at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. Of course, we're on the iTunes and the TuneIn, for those of you that way inclined. Had another bit of feedback last week. I was out in Peel and I bumped into Adam Parker.
Oh, yes.
Former gym's director of football and Colby Ladies manager. He was saying he listens to us in the bath.
So, wow, so him in the bath, Joey Andrews in the shower.
It's all happening, isn't it?
It is. Wow.
So, I don't know if just Joey actually listened to us in the shower, or just that where he comes up with his question. Oh,
who knows with Joey? Yeah. Probably a bit of both.
So yes, Adam, if you're listening, hello. Apparently his wife gets a bit annoyed because he's in there for that long. but there you go. Thanks for the listen. It's much appreciated. Finally, keep your eyes glued to Twitter for updates from Saturday night's game. You've got a pass out Saturday night, Dave?
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Have you got your thermals? Because it'll be cold at the Bowls Saturday night.
It'll be Baltic. I might have to go to the Baltic for a pint afterwards to warm up.
Flipping heck. That's a bit of a round trip.
Oh, why not?
Bowl to Foxdale to Castletown.
Nice to be.
There you go. Right, so at Manx Footy Blog, Dave will be tweeting his little heart out and using up his 4G like there's no tomorrow. Right, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.